Your Bible and turn again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. A couple weeks ago, we looked at some of the peace accords that were happening, and if you looked at the news this past week, there was another one. There was another Middle Eastern peace agreement that took place this past week. Anybody know what that was? What country was it with Israel? They developed a peace agreement. Now, Sudan. It was Sudan. And they came on board again, and President Trump was talking about this. This was Friday. He announced the peace deal that would normalize ties between Israel and Sudan, claiming there would, quote, be many more peace deals to come in the Middle East. He said Friday, 3 months ago, no one thought this was possible. Even Bibi didn't know if this was possible. Right, Bibi? Trump asked his ally, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, goes by Bibi. Trump said that Sudan had demonstrated a commitment to battling terrorism. This is one of the great days in the history of Sudan, Trump said, adding that Israel and Sudan have been in a state of war for decades. It's a new world, Netanyahu said over the phone. We are cooperating with everyone, building a better future for all of us. The president said that at least five other countries wanted peace with Israel. We have many lined up. They want to come in, get the deal done. Senior advisor to the president, Jared Kushner, who has been involved in brokering the deals, agreed that other countries in the Middle East would soon follow suit. Trump said that even Iran would someday normalize relations with Israel. He says, Iran ultimately will become a member of this whole thing. Look, someday I'd love to help Iran get back on track. They've gone from a rich country to a poor country in 3 years, he said. But they can't have nuclear weapons. It's always death to Israel. That's all they shout. So they can't have nuclear weapons. The president also said that a deal between Israel and the Palestinian region may be on the horizon. Palestinians, they're wanting to do something. I'm sure that will get done too. So Trump said he expects Saudi Arabia to come to the table for a deal soon. There's going to be a big reunion, quote, where everybody is here. Everybody's going to be signed. We expect Saudi Arabia is going to be one of those countries, highly respected, the king and the crown prince. They're all just highly respected in the Middle East. So anyway, that's going on. And he talks about the fact that they need to deal with their terrorist tendencies, and they're paying $335 million in compensation for the victims of terror that have come from Sudan, but anyway, they've gotten on to this peace with Israel, and if you remember, we were looking at that because when we see the tribulation start in Daniel 9:27, it starts with a covenant confirmed with Israel. And is this it? Well, probably not, but it does make you think about the fact that the Bible teaches us that's how it starts. And then last week we started looking here at 1 Thessalonians 5, where we have a reminder of the day of the Lord. And verse 3 says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And we looked at the day of the Lord last week, and it comes upon the world unexpectedly. It seems when they have a sense of security, and perhaps that's in reference to that same covenant with Israel. This covenant's confirmed by the Antichrist. Everything's looking great. They have this sense of peace. And then the day of the Lord comes suddenly, unexpectedly upon the world. They're not prepared for it. And so that's what the scripture tells us about here. So we've looked at The question of, you know, are we going to go ahead and go through the tribulation? Well, Revelation 3:10, we have this promise to be kept from future temptation, kept from that time of temptation. And so it seems this promise to the church is that we will be kept out of it. And we're looking for the coming of the Lord, the rapture. The New Testament invites us to expect that, be waiting for the coming of the Lord, looking for it. There are conditions that are going to be realities at the close of the church age, ever-increasing moral and doctrinal apostasy all around us. That is true. That's going to happen. But I want us to look a little bit more at this passage here and want to begin with reviewing a little bit what the day of the Lord is. This passage deals with what's called the day of the Lord. Notice verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. It says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that the thief should overtake you as that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." So saw last week that the Thessalonians, Paul thought they didn't really need any further teaching about the day of the Lord. He said, you know perfectly about the day of the Lord. How did they know that? Well, Paul must have taught them about it when he was there in Thessalonica teaching the Old Testament scriptures. That's a major subject in the Old Testament, the day of the Lord. Over 75 times in the Old Testament we have references to the day of the Lord. And Paul was just giving them a little reminder about that. He felt that they were well grounded in the day of the Lord. Perhaps even as Jewish Christians, they had an Old Testament basis there in that. They knew what was coming up. And so what is it? You know, would God be able to say to us, you know, you folks here at Morrow Bible Church, you know perfectly regarding the day of the Lord. All right, you could teach on that. Well, what is that? Well, first of all, it's not a 24-hour day. You say, wait a minute. It's a day of the Lord, but it's not a day. Yeah, right. A day, of course, we talk about a day, just 24-hour period, but the day of the Lord refers to an age. It involves many days, even years, when we look at all that it includes. And so it's a period of time. It's not also the same as the Lord's Day. The Bible speaks of the Lord's Day in Revelation chapter 1. John says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He's speaking about Sunday, the day that belongs to the Lord in a special way. The day of the Lord is not the same as the Lord's Day. You say, Pastor, this is too much, all right? It's too early in the morning for this. But, okay, just think through it. It's the day of the Lord. It's a period of time. It's not the same as the Lord's Day. It's different than that. It's the day of the Lord. And it is an Old Testament concept, especially used by the prophets. We looked at Amos last week, but I want you to look at another example here this morning. Let's go to Joel. Go back to Joel, the Old Testament prophet Joel. You could say the day of the Lord is the theme of the prophet Joel here. And he speaks many times about it. But notice Joel chapter 1, we get a sense of the character of the day of the Lord, this time period prophesied here in Joel. Joel 1:15, notice what he says. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. As a destruction from the Almighty, it shall come. So he's talking about destruction there, judgment. And then go over to chapter 2. Speaks of the day of the Lord there. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. So it's a day of darkness and gloominess. And then jump down to verse 10 of chapter 2. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, and the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his great army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? So there's many references to that. Let's skip ahead to chapter 3, I guess, at the end. We have a different sense. Chapter 3, verse 16. This is more of a positive aspect of the day of the Lord. The Lord also, chapter 3 and verse 16, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. So there's a more of a good news there, a positive aspect to that period of time. Now I want to point out this regarding the day of the Lord. This is a concept that's primarily an Old Testament concept, the day of the Lord. It's something that is given directly to Israel, refers primarily to Israel. And because of that, as we've seen, the church is a mystery. That is something that was previously hidden but now made known. Because of that, we do not expect that the church will be a part of that period of time, the day of the Lord. It's given to Israel. It refers primarily to them. So it's this Old Testament expression. It's both good news and bad news. There's this time of darkness and judgment, yes, but it also involves great blessing for Israel. And you say, well, what is this? What is this talking about? What is the period of time here? When we look at all these passages, we've just surveyed only a couple of them here. Again, there's over 75 references to the day of the Lord. But when you look at all those references, you find that the day of the Lord is describing events in the tribulation. It's describing tribulation judgments. When we put all these scriptures together. But not just the tribulation. It also extends to the period of the second coming. And even through the millennium, we see that reference day of the Lord. For example, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it's referring to the coming of the day of the Lord, and even the destruction or the renovation of the heavens of the earth are included in that particular time period, which is after the millennium. And so you have this whole time period, beginning with the tribulation, running all the way through the millennium, and after that, thousand-year rule of Christ, that whole period of time can be described as the day of the Lord. It's a very large period of time. It's not just one 24-hour day. It's a long time. And here in 1 Thessalonians 5, of course, the judgment aspect is really important here, and I think that's talking about the tribulation, that aspect of the day of the Lord. And we saw the impact of that upon the world last time, how it comes upon the world. And we saw that it comes without warning. It comes when they're saying peace and safety. Then sudden destruction comes on them. As travail upon a woman with child. You know, it's not something they can just say, well, we'll go somewhere else and try to avoid this. No, it starts, and they're not going to be able to escape it. Got to go through it. But then we come to verse 4, and there's a contrast here. In verse 3, Paul talks about them, they, people that are on the earth at this time, the world. How is the day of the Lord going to impact them? But in contrast, verse 4, but ye brethren, there's a difference. But ye brethren are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light. And the children of the day, we are not of the night, nor of the darkness. We see the difference for believers. And why is that? Well, I believe the answer is because they've been raptured. 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul's just talked about that. Why do they have nothing to fear of that day? Because they won't go through it. There's a difference here, difference for believers. And that has to do with who believers are, their nature. They're not in darkness. They're children of light and of the day. The Lord has delivered us from the darkness, the power of darkness, and the darkness that goes along with the day of the Lord and the judgment of it. We just read in Joel, Joel says, this is a day of darkness. But Paul says, you believers, church at Thessalonica, you're not in darkness. This is different for you. And then we come to the duties of believers. What should we do in light of that? Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. And so Paul is instructing the church, here's what you do in light of this. And notice what it's not. It is not to be looking for the signs of the tribulation. We've seen that some prophetic teachers today, they're going around trying to identify things in the sky that are happening, and look, this is happening. That's not what the Apostle Paul tells the church to do. He doesn't say, look around for the signs. He says, look for the coming of the Lord. And as you do that, don't be spiritually asleep. Be alert. Be sober. Be prepared. He talks about the armor here you need to put on. And so there is an aspect, something we need to do in light of this. And we need to pay attention to that as well. All right, I'll stop there. And does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes.
Is this where the Lord talks about that his people perish because of the lack of knowledge? Is this just what it's referring to?
I don't know about that. Maybe in some way, you know. Yeah, I'd have to think about that a little bit. But that's definitely a problem for the Lord's people. We can fix that through God's word, through paying attention to it. So anybody else? Right. Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to live as we should in light of future events. Help us to be alert spiritually, to be prepared for what is coming, to be spiritually prepared, to put on the armor of God, the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet of the hope of salvation. We thank you for giving these things to us. We thank you for what you've given to us in your word. Pray that you bless our time of prayer now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I trust that you have a prayer sheet here this morning. The new one should say October 19th. And if you don't have one, they are on both sides of the auditorium here. So you can pick one up. I did sanitize my hands as I printed them up and folded them and put them out there. So don't think you should get sick from picking them up. But there it is. Just a couple requests here to add to that. Of course, praise for Tom Evans. He had surgery on Wednesday. He did come through that, and he's recovering. Had eye surgery on his retina, and so just pray for his recovery. Pray also for Ethan Cost. He had a little accident this week, and he had to get 5 stitches, I think it was, on his head. So just pray for him as he recovers. Ethan Cost, he's 7 years old, I think. And so pray for Ethan Cost. It's good to see the Gossmans back here. Looks like they made it safely from Colorado. So that's a praise. And then, yes.
Yeah, and a request. There was another death in the Henning family. We were over to a funeral yesterday. It would have been a nephew of Jonathan's that we had a funeral a while back, but he was in the National Guard, and there was at least 100 different of his guardsmen that were there at the funeral, and there was a good salvation message. And I guess just to pray that the Lord would use this in the lives of these, so we know there's just a large number of unsaved that would have been there. And he was a very well respected young man, and so there was I don't know, maybe this whole unit was there, I don't know, or the whole division that he was in. So just appreciate your prayers for that.
Right. So. A death in the Henning family. There was a funeral yesterday. Many folks there that heard the gospel. So just pray for the Lord's working there. All right. Also pray for Mr. Al Ray. He is not feeling well today. So just pray for him to feel better. Okay. And then pray for our country. We've got this election coming up, going on right now. Also, tomorrow, I believe the Supreme Court nominee is going to be voted on in the Senate. So pray regarding that. And so any other requests here you'd want to mention? Yes, Sue.
Prayers for close friends of ours, Mark and Terry Winter, whose son, his son, was found dead Monday morning.
Okay, close friends of the Millers, Mark and Terry Winters. Their son was found dead this past week. So pray for the family as they go through that. Okay. Any other requests this morning? Yes, Dan.
Pray for my boss again, the owner of our company. He had a radiation treatment on Friday. His first one, and he's got 2 more to go on Monday and Tuesday. And then they're saying he's got to be on chemo the rest of his life.
Okay, the owner, one of the owners of Dan's company, is that Dave Metzger, with continued cancer treatments, going to have to be on chemo for maybe the rest of his life, they're saying. So pray for him. All right, any other requests here? Yes, Mr. Renard.
I was talking with Don Owens last week, and he was claiming that he's still having pain in his back. And the way he was talking, he feels that maybe the screws and the rods in his back were loose, causing the pain. So we need to remember him in prayer. And I also got to talk to, I called Mary and Ed Jones up, and I wasn't able to talk to Ed because she says that he's sleeping a lot. He's in a lot of pain because of his hip. And she doesn't know if that's what's causing him to sleep, that he was asleep when I called. And she said he takes sleeps about 4 or 5 times a day. So you might want to remember him.
All right. Pray for Don Owen. He's still having some issues with his hip and back. And pray for Ed Jones as well. So he's got a hip issue. So pray for his health.
Then I got a praise for the fact that I was able to take a pain shot there Friday, and it seems to be working now, but the paper tells me that it won't be in full effect for 7 days, so I'm still gobbling down pain pills just to be on the safe side. Hopefully that shot will last. The last shot I had lasted, well, it was in May when I got it, and so hopefully this will last a little longer. So that's unspoken prayer for me.
All right.
Unspoken prayer, whatever.
Praise and a prayer request for Bob and his back. He had a shot this past Friday, so pray that that would keep working. So, all right, anybody else? Other requests or praises? Yes, Norm?
My brother, the MRI, did not show anything wrong. Better than that. So, that's praise, I guess, but he still has pain. Talked to Mrs. Rosina.
Okay, so Norm prays for his brother. Last week he was to get the MRI results back. They were good. There were no problems found, but he's still having pain. And Mrs. Orsina, she is taking treatments.
She's taking a light dose of chemo because she's 90 years old.
Okay, so
good spirits, doing well.
She's taking a light dose of chemo. That's Frida's neighbor as well, yes, up in Mount Gilead. All right. Yes, Shirley. Okay, Shirley, pray for some issues with her legs. Not sure whether it's restless leg or something else, but pray for that. All right. Anybody else this morning? Norm? Yeah, we're still chasing that rabbit a little bit here. So, all right, yes.
Ron's been talking with a young neighbor of ours. His name is Matt, and he's just having a lot of struggles in his life right now. And pray that Ron can spend some time with him.
Okay, neighbor of the Margraffs named Matt with some struggles in his life. Ron's been able to talk to him, and just pray for the Lord's working there. All right, anyone else? Continue to pray for the folks we visited here recently. We're still visiting around the church area. And so just pray the Lord would use that, those materials we've given out, people we've met. Talked to one man this past week, lived right next to a church, and he said, he said he went to the church next door, but he said they've been closed since February, and they've not reopened. And so he said, it's good to know your church is open. So pray that he would come out. I think his name was Bill, so you can put him on there as well. All right, anyone else? Other praises or prayer requests? Any unspoken requests? Anybody has? Okay, Becky with an unspoken, and Bob. All right. Jenny had mentioned prayer last week for Mr. Kelly Burgess. That's a man who was one of her teachers in high school in Kansas. He's a Christian man, but he's really seems to be declining with cancer. So pray for him and his family. And I believe Scott has there's an auction coming up for his business that this week. It's kind of an important thing that's coming up for him. And so just pray for them. Good to see Debbie here today and Steve as well. So Debbie was sick last week, Steve traveling, but good to have them here. All right. Okay, anything else? All right, well, let's go ahead and divide up then. We'll have our ladies over here, and then we'll have the men out here as we pray.